This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're happy to have back on the program today two distinguished guests to continue a recent discussion. The Reverend T. Robert Ingram is rector of St. Thomas's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. He's the author of several books, including a new one just released, The World Under God's Law. Other works published by Mr. Ingram include Sacred Studies and a volume of essays called Essays on Segregation. Mr. Ingram, happy to have you back today, along with Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi. Thanks. Mr. Winstead, glad to have you too.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Dick.
I've been looking forward to this.
We were discussing on the last program a sermon which you gave recently, Mr. Ingram, which has received wide attention throughout the nation, called The Government Plan for Seizure of the Churches.
Yes.
And it brought out the fact that there has been set up in the Civil Defense Department of our federal government an Office of Religious Affairs, which, in your theory at least, can provide for a certain amount of government control of churches, ministers, and church functions in time of emergency.
Yes.
Now, would you mind telling us how this happened to be called to your attention?
I first learned of it, Dick, last October at a meeting of the House of Bishops at the General Convention of the Episcopal Church in Detroit. I was present as a correspondent for a church paper and sat in at a time when a Dr. Fred W. Kern, who was introduced as Director of Religious Affairs, Office of Civil Defense, addressed the bishops. He told them that the purpose of his speaking to them was to encourage them to go home and encourage their clergy to register with the Office of Civil Defense. And then he explained the implications and what would happen if they did not register.
Well, exactly what did he say would happen if the ministers failed to register?
Well, he simply said they would not be permitted to function in time of an emergency. They would not be admitted into a disaster area, could not take care of the sick and the dying and whatever other needs had to be tended to.
Now, I think it should be made clear that we're not talking about just one kind of emergency. Mr. Winstead, you're on the Armed Services Committee, and as such, you have quite a bit to do with the Civil Defense Program. Isn't it true that the Civil Defense Program in this country is aimed not only at providing help in time of enemy attack, but also in time of natural disaster, such as fire or flood?
Well, of course, one of the greatest strengths we had in trying to create any interest much whatsoever in civilian defense in some of our smaller towns or cities would be for the useful purpose of a civilian defense agency to help cooperate with any emergencies or disaster. Now, it's hard for me to get on this subject without getting on other subjects also, but as you know, our subcommittee, the ABAS subcommittee, have been going through a terrific fight with the Defense Department on maintaining our National Guard at a certain level of drill strength and reserve organization. And in case of emergency, you take now, the National Guard serves a dual purpose as well as a civilian defense program that'll come in being, irrespective of an all-out nuclear war. And as I said, we'll start hearings as soon as this committee is through on this civilian defense program to some extent. And that's why it's such a pleasure for me to at least have read just a short part of your information you brought along and have an opportunity to hear you talk more about it before we start the hearings in a few weeks on this very important subject. If I understand you correctly, and that astounds me almost, even with all the things that's going on this day and time, that it's our proposition to set up a civilian agency by the government of the United States and require that the church leaders in any faith or religious activity must become a member of that civilian defense group and work solely under the orders of the federal government in case of emergency, case of an executive order. Do I understand you that your information is they plan to go that far with this thing?
Yes, sir, that's exactly the way that the program is laid out as I can understand it.
Well, certainly I don't think any of us want the federal bureaucracy or federal government with all the centralized powers we are having in every other agency of government to take over the church activities of this country. If we do that, well, that's about the last limb.
Well, I would think that that's the rock bottom point for Americans to really assert our Christian principles.
But you certainly have no objection, or I wouldn't think so, to the church leaders and the Christian people and the church people in every community cooperating on an independent basis with any agency of government or otherwise, so long as you operate as a free and independent agent within your own setup.
Well, I cannot imagine how a Christian would be able to refrain from helping.
And would be available and doing as you have done in the past in other disasters and emergencies, contributing everything possible to do anyway.
It's notoriously, in a time of disaster, the church is the last agency to break down. The government agencies break down long before the church communities.
Well, I'm delighted to have an opportunity to have some of the literature you're leaving with me, to read your sermon and to discuss this important issue with you. And I don't believe the United States ready yet to turn the church activity and church life over to some bureaucratic agency out of Washington to further centralize. If we're going to set up, as some folks want, just a chief of the services, one man can dominate the whole life of all the services of this country. They've been trying to federalize the National Guard because it serves a dual purpose, and it's under the National Guard's on the hands of the governor until such time as an emergency arises and you have activated or federalized your National Guard. And we've had a lot of people who have continuously, for year in and year out, tried to federalize that guard. They try to centralize all the power they can in Washington on every agency of government, and this certainly should be the last foothold we'd let bureaucracy take over the important life of our country.
I agree. I think I should point out, too, that the reaction of those people who have learned about this matter has been so strong that the Defense Department has revealed through letters that it is reorganizing the civil defense.
Well, I would certainly hope so.
However, I'm not sure that that means the plans regarding the churches are being changed.
Well, with an organization like this, you could be indoctrinated on any governmental philosophy from that agency. It appears to me that if you had by law, become a member, or else be totally turned out at the whims of those who are running the civilian defense program if you didn't act according to their instruction.
Yes, and that's been the greatest temptation of governments for 2,000 years, to use the churches for their own purposes.
I wonder if you could tell me this, Mr. Ingram. I know that in excess of 100,000 copies of this particular sermon of yours has been distributed, and I know you've had quite a response from all over the nation. Have clergymen expressed their response, clergymen of various faiths?
Yes, they certainly have, Dick. There have been men who have identified themselves often as Lutherans or Roman Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians, or people who don't even identify what particular denomination they might adhere to.
What, in your opinion, brought about this attempt to register the clergy in the country? Do you think it was a sincere but erroneous effort on the part of someone in Washington to try to do good on an organized basis, or do you see it as something more sinister?
Well, Dick, I don't think we need to separate the two. I think that people quite often sincerely think they're doing the right thing, but that in no way changes the fact that it is sinister in the extreme. And I think that this particular plan of government control of the churches is inherent in any plan for reducing the world to subordination to the conscious will of man. If we're going to have a world government under man, then the church must be under man as well as everything else. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it should be any surprise that this movement is coming forward at this time. It's simply a part of the whole philosophy lying behind socialism.
I see. Do you believe that once the people in the churches are informed of this, do you think that most people are opposed to it, or are there some who feel like it might be a pretty good idea if the ministers did go register?
I think we'll have both reactions, but I will express here just a personal opinion. I believe that what we call really converted born-again Christians will be alarmed and will make this a matter of conscience to the very end. I think here is drawn the line that makes martyrs.
And when an agency of government tells a minister that he will not be allowed to perform his functions, you believe that government at this time has gone too far?
Well, I don't see how I, as a Christian, could refrain from saying a prayer because a government official told me not to.
I see. Well, tell me, Mr. Winstead, what do you believe can be done about such examples of the growth of government, the continual seeking after more power on the part of our federal government?
I think if we continue to do what a lot of people say, enlighten the public and just confuse the public with the wrong kind of propaganda and information going out to young people and older people who are willing to let the government do everything that they think will improve the situation within a given area, that until our people are waking all over this country to the fact that the mighty government is not yet strong enough to take over every function of life, in civilian or in any other field except in these rare emergencies, and certainly you have to have federal power then. But I think that if we have an awakening of our people to the fact that you cannot centralize everything, even though what you know doesn't work just as you would like to see it work, to just say we'll centralize that power and put some burden in Washington to dictate the whole policies of this organization and wrap our people up where they're willing to go ahead. And what frightens me, that if these government agencies are going to have so much life and death on the American people, we'll finally get to the point that lots of people in our cities and towns will feel like, I've got to vote for this fellow for mayor to survive, I've got to vote for this man for Congress to survive, I've got to vote for this senator, I've got to vote for this governor, or I've got to vote for some particular presidential candidate. If we get this thing centralized much further and centralize every group in America into these various groups that can be dictated to and dominated with their thinking and propaganda out of Washington, I can see in the years to come that it's a dangerous, dangerous step that we're taking pretty fast, and I'd like to see it slow down some. And this sounds like another agency to me to put the brain power for political purpose and indoctrination as well as civilian defense, if it should go into being. I don't believe it will, not to that extent.
Gentlemen, I'd like to thank both of you very much for being with us again. Our time has gone by once again all too quickly. Our guests on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum, Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi, the Reverend T. Robert Ingram, Rector of St. Thomas's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.